Hello and welcome to another episode of K-Botak, the podcast about Korean cinema and K-dramas. This episode will be rolling over to a high-stakes table, then heading off for some pork adobo with Big Bet. Did you know that in the Philippines there are 33,000, as of 2021, Koreans living overseas as part of the diaspora community? And it actually forms the second largest Korean diaspora community in Southeast Asia, after Vietnam. Some of the pull factors for these folks are things like the availability of an English language education, as the Philippines has an overall excellent standard of English, a cheaper cost of living and therefore education of people going overseas for that. Tropical climate, beautiful natural environment, warm and hospitable culture with lovely people. And the Philippines proactively encourages Korean retirees to settle there as it provides an economic boost. I used to live in Malaysia, which does a very, very similar thing, encouraging either retirees or high net worth individuals to go over with an easy visa. Since the 1990s, more Korean businesses have set up in the Philippines. So this includes businesses that are specifically for Koreans, like restaurants, leading to business associations as a result. And I imagine more formalized communities with established hierarchies and meeting places and their own kind of microculture, as you often find among expat communities. A lot of young Koreans study English there because, as Effa mentioned, it's very cheap. It costs about a quarter of what it does in South Korea, including pop stars, as you can see on Wikipedia, that spent time over there studying. Starting in the early 2000s, Korean business associations became capable of wielding lobbying influence to garner advantages in society and became players in the kind of rules and regulations that would be made. Koreans are valuable residents as they have high spending power. And what's more, the Hallyu wave is very much in play in the Philippines with a high popularity of K-dramas on platforms like Netflix and Viu. Why am I saying all this? Well, this is the setting for the expat crime saga that is Big Bet. It's directed by Kang Yoon-sung, stars Choi Min-sik, Son Suk-gu, and Lee Dong-hui. Choi Min-sik, obviously the big star, the banner kind of actor for this show, the reason I checked it out and was looking forward to it, from Old Boy, Lady Vengeance, The Admiral, I Saw the Devil, Nameless Gangster, New World, The Tiger, an absolute legend and a titan in South Korean cinema and in acting in general. Even appeared in a Hollywood movie, a very bad Scarlett Johansson movie by Jean-Luc Besson called Lucy, I think, that made no sense, but it did have a very cool scene with Choi Min-sik and some gangsters. He hasn't been on the small screen in, I think it's 26 years, if I'm not wrong. So this is a real return to serialized television for him. And yeah, we'll get into it, but he's absolutely amazing and probably the best reason to watch it. Son Suk-gu you will have seen in The Roundup, and also in Nothing Serious, opposite perennial favourite of this podcast, Jin Chung-soo. He was in DP on Netflix, and also Jiri-san, which was the Jiana Jun drama from a couple of years ago. The director, Kang Yoon-sung, actually directed The Outlaws with the amazing Ma Dong-suk. He hasn't directed The Roundup from last year, which was the much more popular successor. But he was down to direct a spin-off from Kingdom called The Crown Prince, that kingdom, if you've listened to a few of my previous episodes, you might know is a big, big favourite of mine. And I hadn't heard about this, and apparently it seems to have been shelved, which is why he moved straight onto this. But this was going to be another 6-episode season, basically, around Chu Ji-hoon's character. So I'm really upset that that seems to have gone into a kind of development hell, because this director plus Kingdom should be fantastic. At any rate, it's interesting that the Outlaws franchise went to Vietnam in the second outing, where here, in Kang's kind of first drama, it's a Korean tax fugitive starting a criminal empire, as opposed to a Korean gang member that was targeting his overseas countrymen in the roundup. So Korean entertainment is prepared to take on various aspects of its diaspora's influence, even the negative ones. And it's not like talking them up too much or trying to celebrate or whitewash anything that's going on overseas. And this is represented by Trey as Cha Musik, who is this opportunistic fellow. He starts a casino in South Korea, kind of in back rooms. He's got this kind of voucher system for alcohol that he's stolen off another guy, so that he doesn't kind of break the no gambling for money rule that's extant at the time. But he's cracked down on by the tax bureau and flees to the Philippines to get away with it, basically. So he becomes a fugitive. And he then works his way up to be the king of the casino world in the Philippines and ultimately kind of power broker with influential figures in the country. This is a really sprawling gangster and casino saga that I think you'll love if you're into your Godfather, Goodfellas, and of course the film itself, Casino. But also The Irishman. It does have that life-spanning epic vibe that I really loved with The Irishman. You're kind of seeing Cha Musik from when he's a little kid to when he's growing up and starting his first jobs, and getting into his first kind of gigs and scams that he wants to do, all the way to basically when he's Truman's sixth age. He's into his kind of 50s or 60s, whatever it is. And it does mean that the opening episodes can be a little convoluted, quite slow. It takes its time to set up Musik actually getting to the Philippines, goes into what's going on with his family and all this kind of stuff and his background and his mum, which was all fine. I'm not, maybe it's impatience, but I'm never super excited to see these kind of extended flashbacks about people's childhood. Like I'm not kind of sitting there thinking, oh, I hope we get to see what happened when he was 12. And I realize it adds quite a lot to scenes with the family and with the mother, but actually getting through them, I do become quite impatient. I like to see the story that's happening in whatever the present tense is that the show establishes. So the best part for me is when Cha Musik catches up to Truman's actual age, and you see him as this godfather figure in Philippines. You're seeing how he's part of the Korean community who are involved in all these various businesses. You've got restaurateurs, you've got people who are involved in crime, the kind of the existing casino management who are there, many of which are Korean, that he ingratiates himself with and then becomes very, very senior within. And you get the impression watching these episodes that these guys aren't being policed much, but they also don't get a lot of protection. And later on, one of the Filipino cops does say that basically crimes involving Filipinos come first, and anything involving the Koreans, they tend to let the Korean kind of expat community deal with it in Koreatown. What this means is that Cha Musik, opportunistic as ever, is able to set himself up as the arbiter of a lot of what is going on in Koreatown and with the casinos, and use his increasing influence and also his natural kind of obstinance, hard-nosed attitude, and quite intimidating nature to get ahead quite quickly. And basically whatever he says goes. He turns up on a crime scene, the cops clear out, they let him handle it. And that's when I think this gets good. Episode 3 on is all gold. I just love this arc of him becoming this super successful expat in the Philippines, running these casinos, going to all these kind of posh restaurants and hotel bars, and just sitting around like he owns the place. He's this very smart behind the scenes godfather figure who is keeping a low profile. He has a theory that the local kind of government agencies and police don't like people interfering too much. So he just kind of stays quiet and pays people off here and there, pulls all the strings, and he's running the casinos, including the Bolton. For Truman Sik, when he's played a few similar characters, he's played kind of very, very evil versions of gangsters where he's just an outright villain. He's done Nameless Gangster, where he was like an embarrassing uncle who kind of fails upward into being part of a criminal empire, which was kind of as funny as it was anything else. This is a really good opportunity for him to inhabit this character for hours and hours. 8 hours worth of episodes that are already out, another 8 coming, and to show you the arc of this person becoming more and more sure of themselves, more and more entrenched in the community and these organizations, and how he kind of builds up this reputation and power in the Philippines. And Truman Sik makes the most of every single aspect of that opportunity. He really is as good as ever. Just an absolute joy to watch. So if you love your, you know, Old Boy, I Saw the Devil, all those films that he's known for, more recently The Admiral, Forbidden Dream even, really, really fab. And I think you sort of owe it to yourself to watch this, because you get to watch 16 hours worth of the guy doing what he does. The only slightly ludicrous part is that they, for the scenes when he's kind of in his 30s, instead of casting another actor, they de-age Truman Sik. And by de-age, I mean they give him a wig. So he's kind of sat there as himself now, whatever he is, 50 plus, with just what is clearly a black wig on, playing himself as a 30-something. So I thought that wasn't very convincing, and maybe they should have got someone else. Or rethought those scenes. Other than that, it's sublime stuff. Some of the highlights are episode 3, when he's kind of acting for a loan shark and he's threatening debtors and he's going around dreaming up all these variously kind of brutal ways of extorting money from people. We all love watching this actor be a bastard, and you get that here. Episode 4, he's rigging the games to go his way, obviously, and then he's paying the rollers in coupons for the hotel, which he then buys back at a preferential rate and uses to pay for these seminars. And these seminars are for local influential people, politicians, celebs, business owners, you name it, and they become the most popular meetings in Philippines. So this is just expanding his influence even more, and he's still got more coupons left over after that. So just the ingenuity and the total extortion of the way he's running this business it is really fun to watch. In episode 5, you have to watch him groom some careful, prim bloke who's visiting the Philippines into a gambling addict at his casino. And it's compelling viewing, but it's also quite terrifying how he sets up this guy's fall, basically. We're all scared of gambling for good reason, because this stuff can happen to you. And this was really well put together, almost like a self-contained episode about how he's getting people in, and he's making money from the fact that he's lending them money to spend in the casino, but he's obviously then going to get the money back from them, presumably with interest. So he's just treating them as this kind of long-term investment, and meanwhile they're ruining their businesses and putting their families out of house and home, and it's absolutely bleak. But it builds up the character and the story so well. Then you get the introduction of Son Suk Kum, who was in the roundup, who was in Nothing Serious, on the rise, this bloke, at least I hope so, because he's great. He was big in the marketing for this, but he's only introduced in about episode 5 to 6 as this detective who's sent to the Philippines. That turns out, I don't know if this had ever come up in a previous production, but Son Soku's English is amazing. He sounds really cool with the way he speaks it as well. He speaks in quite a quite a laid-back, cool dude American accent. He sounds confident. He's able to be very funny communicate a lot of different emotions and things that he's doing. So, I mean, real talent to be able to act so well in a second language. So I don't know if he studied overseas or lived overseas, but that was I kind of fell out of my chair when he started talking to his Philippines colleagues. And overall, I thought that sometimes these sort of very standard detective subplots where the main characters are being investigated for this, that, and the other can just be a bit of filler. But here it's really entertaining with its own highlight characters. And it's as enjoyable to watch as anything else in the show. Like, I don't think there's any fat on this series, really. A little bit slow in the beginning, but once you're in, you're really in. I have to give a shout out to Mark, who is the kind of cop buddy of Son Suk-Koo's character. He's really cool, really nice, and I liked him because obviously The Point Men just came out and recently Narco Saints as well, so I'm constantly returning to this this topic of Korean entertainment set in other countries, which I think is fascinating apart from anything else. And I think this is one of the better examples of portraying, especially, you know, another Southeast Asian country after Vietnam in the roundup, and making it a little bit more nuanced than that was, because I thought that was pretty rudimentary as a portrayal of Vietnam. Whereas here you do actually see some local characters. Someone like Mark, like, actually bonds with this Korean desk detective. They have actual discussions. It's not just one bossing the other around. They connect, they share food. You see Mark walk into the office and he's got plastic carrier bags with food that he's taken away. And like, that's my life living in Singapore, like walking back to an office with food that I've bought and sharing it with people. And to show those moments on screen is really awesome. And I think that the more authentic these shows can be, and the more of that they can present, the better. So I really like this. And it's not ideal. It doesn't spend much time showing any of the good parts of Philippines, like the food, the family values, the culture, how lovely the people are. I mean, a lot of the people that you see are obviously gangsters and bodyguards and stuff, or unfortunately sex workers, because of the context of why these guys are in the country. It would have been good if they could have showed a few more local characters, which I think is always what I want from these, to find some local actors, which there's no shortage of, because there's cool action films and romances and stuff coming out of the Philippines all the time, and just get those people involved and be like, be in a scene here and there, you know, act alongside these amazing, you know, top draw South Korean actors, a bit more of that. But it's closer, it's getting there, compared to a lot of the recent films and dramas. Like I alluded earlier, we've got 8 episodes of this at this point. Another 8 is about to start dropping, and honestly, getting one episode of this a week for 8 weeks, and then a break of a month or so, and then starting again, one a week, that's perfect for me, man. I can actually keep up. Similar thing with The Glory. They dropped 8 episodes, and then they took a big break, and then that's coming back partway through March. A lot of people like to binge. I understand that, and I really admire people who can keep on top of all of these things. I just can't. Ironic, perhaps, because I'm someone who has a podcast about K-dramas, but I'm not able to keep up with them. So I try and watch the best ones so I can talk about them and tell everyone else about them. But staggered releases. I'm all about that. It's like having one little mini movie, an hour long movie about Cho Min-sik every week. So I could happily have that forever. So yeah, Big Bet. I mean, this story just gets more gripping with each episode. Each character is important to the narrative. It fills out the picture of this community and the country really well. The gangster stuff in this, like the casino saga that it builds up, is really good. I think gangster films and series can be really cool when they show you how the organization and the hierarchy works and like what its strengths and weaknesses are to build the tension. And so that you understand when something goes wrong, what has happened and what the stakes are. And this is doing that. So it's set up quite a lot. It ends on a cliffhanger, as you'd expect, that I'm looking forward to the continuation of. And, it's an absolute banger so far. So an easy recommendation, one of my favorite dramas in some time, Big Bet. There are lots of other episodes of K-Botak that you can listen to, including an episode all about the Vengeance trilogy, in which Cho Min-sik was at least two of the most important characters in that by Park Chan-wook, and also another one on I Saw the Devil. So I've covered some other work by the man himself. I did a special on Jun Jong-seo, and that included a review of Nothing Serious, including Son Suk-gu. I did a special on Ma Dong-suk, and that included a review of The Roundup, which stars Son Suk-gu. So I've covered these actors elsewhere, and do feel free to have a listen. Check those out. Until next time, cheers.